Matthew 11, verse 20. Then he began to reproach the cities in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my load is light. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We just come before you, Jesus, and we ask you to give us rest today and to reveal the Father to us. And we thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in Matthew 11 and 20, Jesus rebukes the cities, it says, in which most of his miracles were done, because they did not repent. So that already kind of teaches us a few things, right? One of them is that the purpose of a miracle, because a miracle is a work of God's power, right? The purpose of a miracle is to bring people into repentance. You know, we talk about evangelism, when we talk about declaration, which is what we tell people. We tell them, hey, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is the way to heaven, and Jesus is the way to the Father. That's declaration. No, that's proclamation. But there's also demonstration, right? There's proclamation and demonstration, right? We want to demonstrate the power of God. And if you take the Experience in God class, you learn, right? If a bunch of Christians, if all we do is do nice things and be nice and be gentle and be kind and do good things to people, the world is not going to encounter God. They're going to encounter a bunch of nice people, right? But the world is hungering for an encounter with God, with the supernatural, not simply an encounter with a bunch of nice people that are really kind to each other. And, you know, it makes a point that we need to step out in faith and do the things that only God can do. And, you know, we shouldn't follow after signs and wonders, you know. That gets us into trouble if we're just following after churches and have miracles and all that stuff. But I think if you just look at Acts, right, the history and the account of the early Christians, they moved in signs and wonders. They moved in healing. And if you look in James' passage, it says, if anyone's sick, call for the elders of the church, and they're to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and pray for you, and you'll be healed. You know, it talks about signs and wonders. It talks about prophetic ministry and stuff like that. And all of that, it's helpful in bringing people into the kingdom. You know, this past Saturday, we had Saturday of service, right? So I don't know what all the other house churches did, but our house church and Kennedy Road House Church, we got together and we decided we're going to do prophetic evangelism on the streets, you know, and it was pouring rain. So it wasn't the ideal situation for this outreach, I guess. But, you know, what we did, we got together and we broke into groups of three, and the three of us, we prayed that God would reveal to us some signs and some clues as to who he wanted us to talk to, you know. And we had things like people's appearance, you know, like what would they be wearing, or people's names, you know, and people's illnesses, you know, and location, and other clues like that. And we will wait on the Lord, and we write down, We don't take too long to wait on the Lord, because if we take too long, then we start questioning it, we start doubting it. So we take like 3-4 minutes, where we write down the clues that we feel like God has spoken to us, and we go out and we try to find the people that God was leading us to. And this was our first time, and we weren't extremely successful. You know, we didn't come back with testimonies of miracles and signs and wonders happening. But at least we took a step of faith and a step of obedience. And we did find, like, for our group, it was me, Leanne, and Soyeon. And we one of the clues was hamburger. And the other clue was Harbor City. So we went to the Star Ferry, and there's a hamburger place, right? And the other clue was pear. So we found a pear, like a couple that were talking, and we began to talk to them. It turns out, girl was a Christian, guy wasn't a Christian. And she had just prayed for the rain to stop, because it was pouring down, right? And then we approached them, we started talking to them, we're like, hey, we're on this thing, and we feel like you guys might be the ones we should talk to. The girl understood, because she was a believer, but the guy wasn't. And we just started speaking to him and said, you know, this is not a coincidence that we're here, because, you know, your girlfriend, obviously God's trying to minister to you. God's trying to get to your heart because your girlfriend's a Christian. And now us three, God has brought us three to speak to you. And it seemed, you know, like it was kind of making sense to him, you know, that God was maybe doing something in his life. And we prayed for them. And she was really touched, you know, that we would come and that God had brought us to him. That was probably the most successful from our 1.5 hours of ministering. You know, we had some names. We were looking for a James and a Mark. We couldn't find a James and a Mark anywhere. But, you know, if we had found a James in front of a hamburger shop, you know what? That's a miracle. And you know what that would do to a person's heart? It would soften it, and they might be more open to hear about the gospel. And all the same, you know, we should step out in faith and say, you know what? People heard God and they moved. You know, there's examples in the Bible, right? Ananias, who ministered to Paul when Paul was blind, right? God comes straight to Ananias and says, there's a guy named Paul who's coming. You need to go minister to him. You know, and there's Philip, who gets called by God to go chase the chariot. And then God ministers to the Ethiopian eunuch through Philip. So there's examples of people doing stuff like this, where they hear from God and they go out in faith and do it, you know, and we should do it, you know, we should obey. And it's difficult, it's scary, but cause if we only do things that we're comfortable doing, the world is not going to encounter this power of God. I'm not saying, you know, and I shouldn't say that it's up to us to do some crazy thing for people to come to repentance, because it is all the work of the Holy Spirit, it's all the work of the Father, as we see here. You know, Father is the one who reveals the truth, and the Son reveals the Father, right? So it's all grace. It's all done by the Father, done by God to reveal these things to people. But we know also that God works in partnership, right, with human beings. So if we step out in faith and do the things that God wants us to do, then, you know, it will lead better to repentance. And it also says, you know, he rebukes the cities because these were the cities in which most of his miracles were done. And if you look in verse 22 and 24, it says, nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, or it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. And this seems to point to the fact that there will be a varying degrees of judgment, you know. Because it says it will be more tolerable for Sodom than it will be for you. And also the issue of accountability. As in, the more revelation you have received, because a miracle is really a revelation of God. And the more revelation you have, the more accountable you will be. And the more accountable you are to what God has done, the more severe the judgment will be. Interesting, right? Because people always ask, you know, what about those people in Africa? You know, that never had a chance to hear the gospel. We don't have the answers, right? We don't know, but it seems like there is a varying degree of judgment to in the day of judgment. You know, the more revelation you have received, the more accountable you will be, the more severe the judgment. And it's also a message to us, especially in the West or in a very civilized society where we have all the revelation we need to come to Christ and to come to repentance, and we don't, you know, how the more severe the judgment will be. And we need to repent, you know, we need to walk in repentance, walk in humility. And another thing that I thought was interesting was Jesus rebukes cities, you know? He's not rebuking individuals, he's rebuking cities altogether. So I don't know like what the implication of that is, but I just thought it was interesting. You know, we live in a city called Hong Kong, and I don't know how much repentance Hong Kong walks in, you know? But there's definitely a lot of revelation here. There's definitely a lot of freedom to hear the gospel and to worship God and to, there's a lot of revelation of God in this place, but the city's not necessarily walking in repentance. What's God going to say? You know, is he going to rebuke the city of Hong Kong for our lack of repentance? What about us Christians? Like, do we have a role to play here? It's just something interesting to think about. I don't know what the conclusion would be. But if we go to the next passage, from 25 to 30, it's Jesus saying, you know, I praise you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, but you reveal them to babes. And I was kind of thinking about, you know, why would God hide these from the wise and the intelligent? And one thing that I kind of thought about was that wise and the intelligent, if people are wise or they feel like they're intelligent, they're pretty self-reliant. You know, I've been emailing on and off with this guy who is an atheist. And he's like a doctor. He's super smart. And he's an atheist. He grew up kind of in the church, but now he's out of the church. So I'm trying to email him and tell him, you know, about God. But he's so smart that I feel so inadequate emailing him, because he will come up with all these crazy answers. And he will quote the Bible and say, this and this and this, and this is why the Bible is not true. Or this is why God is not good. This is why you're wrong and I'm right. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to say to this guy. And he's so self-reliant. He's like, no, God, he's an atheist. You know, he claims to be an atheist. He's like, no, God doesn't exist, but, you know, I got my life sorted out, kind of thing. And I think, you know, if you feel like you're wise and you're intelligent, you're very self-reliant. You don't need to depend on anything, and you feel like you got your life sorted out. Those are probably the hardest people to reach out to, you know? People that, you know, don't feel like they need anything. You know, they feel like they know everything. They feel like they have everything figured out in this life. And instead, God reveals these things to babes. You know, obviously babes are helpless and willing, very willing to receive help from the parents and from people that are bigger and older. I think those are the people that can really receive, right, the truth. But also another thing that, you know, is, like I said earlier, it's really by grace. You know, it's really by revelation. None of us can say, yeah, because I was so humble, because I was so receptive to the things of God, I came to know Jesus Christ. You know, it's all revelation from the Father. And as we see in verse 27, you know, no one knows the Father at the bottom of 27 except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. It's the Father and the Son that wills to reveal the truth, and it is his desire and it is his revelation that brings us into his presence, you know. And that's why we just need to be thankful, you know. We just need to recognize that it's all by grace. It's not by how much we've done, how much repentance or how much fasting or whatever. It's by God's grace that these things are revealed to us, and we receive it by grace and with gratitude, and we don't boast. You know, as Paul says, we have nothing to boast about because it's not by what we have done. And then lastly, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This invitation, right? Invitation by Jesus to come to him. And what's interesting here is no one else in this world can say something like this. You know, no one else in this world should say to anyone, come to me. Check. Yeah, no one else in this world can say, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus is the only one, and Jesus is the only, you know, and he can say it because he knew who he was. He knew that he was God himself. He was the Son of God. And he says, and it's what that passage kind of reminded me of, the Isaiah 55 passage, you know, where God says to Israel, he says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." This is Isaiah 55, verse 1. It says, "Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance." You know, God is the one that can say, "Come to me, and I will give you, you know, what will delight you and what will satisfy you. Buy wine and milk without money, without cost. As in, it's free of charge to you. I'll give it to you if you come to me." And this is kind of a similar way Jesus is inviting them and say, "Come to me, and when you come to me, you will find rest, and you will find, you know, that you will find what delights your heart. You know, you will find what will satisfy you." And Jesus, you know, he reveals himself as gentle and humble in heart. He could have revealed himself in so many different ways, and he says, "I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." And it was Bruce Marciano, when he was here, you know, he is an actor who played Jesus in a movie called Matthew, and he said something about gentleness, and he says, all of us, you know, in our heart, what we long for is a little bit of gentleness, you know, a little bit of gentleness, you know, because if someone is gentle and humble in heart, it's easy to come to them. Someone is harsh and demanding, it's hard to go to them. It's hard to really just be at rest in the presence of someone like that, you know. But if someone is gentle and he is humble and he you know, just receives you, you know, freely, then you can really go to that person and you really feel at peace, you know, you really feel at rest. And Jesus reveals himself to us as that, and he says to us to come to him. So this morning, as we come to morning prayer, we can meditate upon this passage and really come before Jesus and allow him to just minister to us, and that we may find rest, you know, in our heart. So Jesus is going to come and lead us in a time of worship, and let's just meditate upon this passage, especially that last part, and all the pressure that we have. You know, if you feel like, oh, we're not a good enough Christian, or you know, we're not praying enough, we're not doing this enough, we're not doing that enough, we're not evangelizing enough, you know, we're not doing, you know, we're not walking in signs and wonders enough, you know, whatever kind of condemnation or guilt that might come, let's just remember that Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my load is light." As long as, you know, we come to Jesus, then he'll receive us and he wants to give us rest. And there's a quote at Bethany House by I think Hudson Taylor or his son, who, you know, was a missionary in China, and he worked hard. You know, he's a hardcore missionary in China, and he writes this verse, and he says, "If Christians would just find rest in Christ first before we went out to do ministry, we would be so much more effective, and we would be able to do so much more, because we're not striving and we're not desperate to try and do something for God. We're not under all this pressure, but we are first at peace with God and in stillness, and then we can go out." So let's really enter into God's rest this morning. Pray together, just about coming to Jesus and finding rest, and just Jesus's gentleness. I think a real picture of that is when Peter, you know, after Jesus's resurrection, after Peter has denied him three times, you know, Jesus calls Peter to himself, and you know, we see what Jesus does, right? He restores Peter back to his original calling and original vision. And there is no mention of Jesus rebuking and saying, you know, I can't believe this. You know, and we would expect, you know, if we are in Peter's shoes, we would expect Jesus' rebuke. You know, we would expect him to say, you know, what's wrong with you? And we would expect to kind of be in some kind of probation period, you know, for 6 months or for 6 weeks at least. You know, we have to prove ourselves to be good, and then Jesus would finally be nice to us, be good to us. But it's not like that, right? With Peter, he says immediately, you know, he just encourages him and says, I know that you love me. Basically, he's just reassuring Peter of Peter's love for Jesus, right? Because Jesus already knows the heart that Peter has, and Jesus knows our hearts and our sincerity. And so even when we fail, Jesus is not there questioning us, but he just reassures us that it's okay. I know that you love me, and I want you to understand and know that you do love me, and let me restore you, let me encourage you, kind of thing. And so let's pray for ourselves and also pray for our church. You know, if anyone's walking in just in guilt or under a lot of pressure, or try to feel like, you know, we can't please God or something, you know, that our church would be able to really walk in this rest and walk in assurance of who Jesus is. And so let's just pray for ourselves and pray for our church to be able to walk in this rest. House churches, this is the last week, so let's really pray that they'll have an amazing time closing off the season. Let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong House Church with Matt and Sophia, Seymour House Church with Hai Jin Jisun, and Old Peak, Star Street House Church with Jean-Marc and Imelda. Let's pray for the three house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray that God would really be with them. They would have a good time of just last house church meeting together. Let's pray. For our missions focus, let's pray for our Hunan team. They're in Hunan right now doing ministry. I think three of them are there right now. And then there's another group leaving tomorrow on Wednesday. So let's just pray that that God will bless the team that's already there and the team that's going tomorrow, that there will just be unity in the team, that they'll have an amazing time ministering to the children there, and that God's love, you know, even though they might not be able to talk about Jesus, they'll be able to really show Jesus's love through their actions, and it'll just overflow out of them. Let's also pray for Fujian. You know, we're supposed to go there, but because of the flood we couldn't go, and let's just pray for the city and also for the, especially for the orphanage that we're supposed to go to. Let's pray. Apparently there was a building that collapsed, I think, a part of the school that collapsed because of the flood. So let's pray that just God's mercy, and that they will be able to restore everything, and just pray for God's covering over them. So let's pray together.
lastly, let's pray for our church and just our move, you know, and this whole thing that we're doing. And let's just pray for God's grace for our church, and pray for the committee, the steering committee that's in charge of running this thing. Let's pray for Peace Sam, and let's just pray for our church that we'll be able to find a place that will be perfect for us, and just that throughout this whole process we would learn to trust God more, that it'll be a growing experience for us. Let's cover our church together for this. Thank you for today. We love you. We worship you this morning. You are worthy of our worship and praises, God. And help us to walk this day, you know, close to you. And always throughout the day, help us to hear that invitation of Jesus to come to you, you know, to find rest and to come before you, you know, with all our burdens, God, and to lay it down before you. So thank you for that. Lord, I just pray your blessing over everyone that's here. And I bless them with your presence and with your peace, with favor in the workplace, God, and with favor with all the work that they need to do. And your protection, Lord, from the evil one. And just watch over us. Help us to glorify you today, to fall deeper in love with you today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day.